This is Harry Murray. We're going to do a podcast for you on July the 26th, showing you the type of trout fishing we have in our mountain streams, our large stock streams, and then what we have going on in the smallmouth bass streams. The mountain trout streams are getting low and clear, and the trout are very wary. The best way to find good fishing now is to look for the high gradient part of the mountain trout streams. These are areas where they're fairly steep. A lot of big boulders gives us a chance to hide behind these boulders as we go up the mountain. I usually refer to these as being in the mid-mountain part. Elevation-wise, it puts them about 2,000 to 3,000 feet. If you have a topo map and you've got streams that you're thinking about fishing, but you don't know where these high gradient streams are, just look on your topo map where the lines get close together, and that means that part of particular mountain stream is very steep. The reason I like these is that when we go up the stream, we can pause in the pool below the pool we're planning to fish, study that pool above, look for the feeding fish, try to actually spot them out there in the stream, and then go one-on-one with them. Now, often it's difficult to discern the whole trout. When you're standing below the pool looking up into it, it's very difficult to look back in there and say, yep, there's a trout on a feeding station. What I look for are actually what I call visual triggers. Now, these are some physical features that draw my attention to a particular spot in the stream that when I investigate it a little closer, I say, yeah, there sure is a nice trout. Probably one of the easiest visual triggers to see on a trout is going to be his movement. This could be when he relocates on a feeding station slightly or turns to the side to take a nymph, that type thing. And as soon as you see that very slight movement, you know where he is, and then you can go one-on-one with him. The shape of a trout is also an easy giveaway. Now, this could be a square tail on a brook trout or a long, slender body of a rainbow over a cobblestone bottom. That type thing is usually easily spotted in the pool. And the color of a trout is another visual trigger that helps me a whole lot. A bright colored rainbow over a dark bottom, pretty easy to see. That white edge on a brook trout's fins is usually pretty easy to spot. Another thing that helps me spot these trout are the shadows they cast on the stream bottom on a sunny day. Now, this can be an easy thing to spot, sometimes much easier to spot the shadow than it is to see the trout. And then when you see that shadow, just kind of focus upstream a little bit above that, and there's your trout. So these are tactics that I use at this time of the year to help me get good fishing in the mountain streams. Now, the flies that I've been doing well with here for the last month and expect to do well with for the next 2 months would be the Murray's inchworm at about a 16, the Murray's housefly at a 16, flying beetle 16, and the Mr. Rapidan ant in a 16 and 18. But those are good flies in the mountain now because that's really what a lot of the natural food is. Now, in the larger trout streams, here in Virginia, this would be Jackson, Bull Pasture, Smith Creek down at Bassett. That's the type of stream I'm talking about here. These larger streams have a lot of grasshoppers and crickets along the bank. The trout feed heavily on these. They like to pull in on these undercut banks. And if you see a trout rising against that, just shoot. I like Ed Shanks crickets. Ed Shanks black cricket and Ed Shanks latoured hopper, both of them in about a size 12 or 14. So what I do is I study the area along these undercut banks, and if I see a trout rise, then I cast my cricket or hopper up there about 2 or 3 feet above him and let it drift down to him dead drift. If I don't see rising trout, then I just cover those undercut banks usually with a dead drift, sometime a slight twitching action on a hopper will pull a trout out from under those banks quicker than a dead drift. But I still fish the same areas even if I don't see them coming up. Now, one little tactic that helps a whole lot on these things is to... Some of the guys like to fish a dropper behind it. The Murray's Professor Nymph, about a size 14 on that, on a 2-foot dropper under there, is a great way to catch trout that might not want to come up. But one trick I use, the Ed Shanks cricket, I've always insisted is the best fish finder I've ever seen. That is, you run it along the bank, and even if the trout doesn't take it, he'll come out and look at it. And then you know where he is. Well, I run the cricket by him a couple more times, and if he still won't take it, then I'll drop down to a fly like the Mr. Rapidan Ant on 6X, and it's amazing how many times these trout will actually take that ant like they've been waiting for it all week. So those are tactics I'm using on the larger streams, larger trout streams, I should say. Now, smallmouth bass fishing is right now, it is outstanding. We are doing real, real well. There are many big bass in these streams now. This is the time of the year I start using that Murray's floating chub, either in the floating chub minnow or the floating dace minnow, either in a 6 or a size 4. Now, during the bright part of the day, I fish these along the shaded banks, cast them in tight to the bank, fish them out to about 10 feet off the bank with a slow pull, pause, pull action until I get them about 10 feet out. Then I shoot them right back downstream about 10 feet below that and gradually work my way down the stream doing that. Now, that's during the middle of the day. Now, in the evening, that is a fantastic fly to use in the tails of the pools. Now, what I do here, now I'm talking about using these floating minnows now. I wade into the pool, right into the riffle below the tail of the pool. I wade out into the riffle. I turn upstream and wade upstream to where I can fish the tail of the pool above me. And it's amazing how many times out there at dusk that you can catch a pretty nice-sized smallmouth bass in water that's no more than a foot deep. So obviously you want to wade carefully when you're going up there. But there's usually a pretty good current in the tails of the pools, and this is a fantastic tactic. Be careful, because sometimes you'll see a bass coming from 6 or 8 feet away to take it, and you sure don't want to take it away from him. Just be patient, and he'll get there. But the tail of the pool's up as far as the water, maybe waist deep. Waist deep, I'm still taking them on these floating minnows by wading upstream, casting upstream, and retrieving them back just a little bit faster than the current is pushing them, because this makes it look like it's a wounded minnow struggling on top. Now, underwater, so far this year in our classes and our schools and in my personal fishing, we are doing real well underwater with that the Magnum hogsucker that I developed a couple years ago. I was standing fishing in the middle of the river just upstream from Edinburgh, and I saw a very large bass chase a hogsucker minnow, you might call it, small fish, up on a gravel bar and catch him as he was flapping around there on the bank. So these bass are looking for hogsuckers where the gravel bars taper off into the deeper water. Sometimes there's a well-pronounced shelf there. Sometimes it's a gradual taper off. But in where these gravel bars come out into water, waist deep to chest deep, these bass are cruising along through there. I like to wade down the middle of the river and cast back toward those things, back toward those gravel bars now with a Murray's Magnum hogsucker size 4 and strip that out. The strike usually comes right when the gravel bar dumps into the deeper water, and I'll wade down the whole river fishing that as long as I've got a good gravel bar. So these are some of the tactics that we're doing well with now for both bass and trout. If you'd like to take advantage of these, this year we've started a new program. We're calling them half-day classes, where we meet here at the fly shop at 9 o'clock. We have take 10 people in each of these classes. Some of them are on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then we take you to the stream, and we fish till about 1 o'clock each day. This runs $98, and it is a true crash course with our top guide teaching this. So if you want to get in on these, the dates are there. I think I said Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They're actually on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. But look on our website, and you'll see the dates on these half-day classes, and they would be very beneficial. He'll teach you how to do these techniques we're talking about. If you have any questions on any of this, just call me at 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.